Heavenly Father, the great God, we bow our hearts before you this morning. Lord, we want to appreciate you because it has pleased you, Lord, to minister to us in the direction we are going this morning. We pray, O God, that my preaching shall not be by the enticing words of man's wisdom. It shall be by the demonstration of power. To the end, every soul shall be blessed. Let man not be seen or heard. Holy Spirit, this is your hour. Have your way and let the name of our God be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please take your seats. This morning, I have the privilege and honor to minister on the topic God's covenant of healing. The covenant of healing. Healing is the heritage of we, the believers. Healing is our right. Healing is our inheritance. It is so sad that you find a lot of believers who are bound by the devil with one infirmity, with one sickness or the other. And if you find a believer so bound, look at that believer eyeball to eyeball. You'll be looking at somebody who lacks knowledge of his glorious inheritance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But I pray that our eyes of our understanding will be opened this morning to know our godly heritage and to dwell in it in Jesus' name. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenants and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generation." In the book of Psalm 89, let me read from verse 34 to 37. Psalm 89, the Bible says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven." Praise the Lord. Now, our key scripture we are reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15 verse 26. He says, "And said, if thou would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and would do that which is right in his sight, and will give ears to his commandment, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." God has a covenant with his people, Israel. There are so many terms of the covenant. One of the covenants is the covenant of healing. Not just the covenant of healing, covenant to live in health. Not just the covenant to live in health, covenant of life. In the name above all names this morning, are you here sick? You will be healed. Are you here this morning? You are going to be ushered from the level, from the rim of being healed to living in health. And from living in health, you are going to have life abundantly. In the mighty name of Jesus. In chapter 23 of the book of Exodus, the Bible says in verse 25 and 26, it says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I, Jehovah, will fulfill. God is speaking to somebody this morning. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, let me read from verse 12 to 15. He says, wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, the corn and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. He says in verse 14, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Then in verse 15 it says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. All your enemies, every sickness upon you, God will take it from you and heap upon them. In the name of Jesus. Now we have understanding of what contract is. But then covenant is stronger than contract. Much of the time, God himself is involved in a covenant. And when God is involved in a covenant, he ensures that the terms of the covenant are fulfilled in the lives of his people. The only demand he places on his people is to exercise their responsibilities, their duties in the covenant. And that is always the missing link. People are not conscious of the covenant God has entered into with them, and to keep the terms of the covenant. And that is why the devil makes a mess of God's people. Now, when God made covenant with Israel, it was their responsibility to keep the terms of the covenant. In the same vein, God has entered into a covenant with you, and demand is placed on you to keep the terms of the covenant if you really want to enjoy and benefit from the terms of the covenant. I pray God will open our understanding this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, if you read the book of Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 to 22, a profound question was asked. And that was a question asked from the heart. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the heart of the daughter of my people and my heart, I am black, astonishment or has taken hold on me. Then in verse 22, the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why? It's so sad that you see a man that is plagued with a sickness, and the man is dying instrumentally. They take the man from one place to another, prayers are offered, and at the end, the man dies. If that happens, something is wrong somewhere. And that is what we shall be addressing this morning. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughters of my people, why is their health not recovered? Are you here this morning? I speak by divine mandate that you are here sick. You are not leaving this hall sick. Are you afflicted? No matter what name they call that sickness or disease, in the name above all names, you are not leaving this hall with that infirmity, with that sickness, in the name of Jesus. Somebody praise the Lord. Healing is the nature of God to heal. It is the character of God. Just as it is just natural for birds to fly in the air, just as it is natural for fish to swim in the water, or the lion to take control of the jungle, it is just natural for God to heal his people. He takes delight in healing his people. 3 John verse 2 confirms that. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Healing is God's children's bread. Healing is your right. Healing is your heritage. Now, when we talk about healing, don't be limited to physical ailments. There are people that have spiritual plagues, spiritual kwashoko, spiritual, sicknesses that you go to the hospital to seek medical remedy. You will be wasting your time. I met a man once who went to the hospital. And seeing the man, the man is really sick. The man was dying instrumentally. And he met the physician. They said, no, you are going to conduct all medical tests on you. Do you know that they ran all necessary medical tests on him? At the end, they saw nothing. And the man was yet dying. Until it dawned on his guardians to know that this one is more than going to hospital to seek remedy. When that man's condition was attacked spiritually, I tell you, it didn't take long. That man was healed. He came out of that bondage. There are people, even in church, who are under siege of the devil. Their lives are being remote controlled. The devil is directing their lives wherever it pleases him, intending to eliminate them. But whoever that has so plotted against you to eliminate you, in the name of Jesus, I declare fire! I say fire! Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. This morning, you will possess your possession. You will possess your possession in the name of Jesus. God is bound by his covenant. God takes an oath to keep his part of the covenant. That is to tell you how serious it is. The Bible tells us, in the book of Numbers chapter 19, Numbers 23 rather, the Bible says Numbers 23, let's read from 19 to 23. Numbers chapter 23 from verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath it spoken, shall he not make it good? Says in verse 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he had blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I cannot reverse it. God is bound by covenants to do, the beatings of the terms of the covenant, and such terms cannot be reversed. That was what happened in this incident. Balaam versus the people. Bible says in the next verse, he says, he had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither had he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. and the shout of a king is among them. I say the shout of a king is amongst you. In the mighty name of Jesus. He says in verse 22, he says, God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Then verse 23, it says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to the time, it shall be said of you, ah, what has God wrought? If you are walloping under some demonic siege and bondage, in the name of Jesus, today, by divine mandate, you are coming out of that siege. You are coming out of that bondage in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, one privilege that we have as the children of God is this. You know, when God entered into this covenant with the people of God, Israel, he extended that to a people that were strangers. People that were not covenant people of God. Either by reason of sojourning with the people of God for a period, they are now given the entitlement to receive what is agreeable to only the people of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus chapter 12, if you read verses 48 and verse 49, it says in verse 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Praise the Lord. Corroborating that with scripture in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 11, let's read from verse 11 to 15. It says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ. Then in verse 14 it says, for he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. Praise the Lord. You that were sometime aliens to the family of God, he has brought you into the fold, and you are now adopted into sonship. You are now a son. You are no longer a slave. Bible tells us in Galatians chapter, I think chapter 4 verse 1, it says, the heir differeth nothing from a servant as long as he's a child. You are a covenant child of God, and heir apparent. All the rights and privileges that accrue to the covenant people of God has extended to you. And your own position is even far, far better than the natural Jew. The natural Jew was broken off from the heritage he had because he didn't want to retain God in his ignorance. But God has brought you into the fold. What right that accrue to you is now, to them, is now extended to you. I remember, I think I've mentioned this once, I was in the Holy Land, Israel. I went on pilgrimage along with other believers. Then my partner, who was working with me, when we got there, we saw what was strange to us. I was thinking in Jerusalem, everybody will be moving sanctimoniously and holy. But I tell you, hardly can you find a lady walking through the streets of Jerusalem without wearing jean trousers. Psychedelic people. And as we were going to the cenotaph, where we were to have our ceremony, some young girls, in attempt to ridicule and humiliate the gospel, they were looking at us. Some of us were wearing, you know, this attire with, you know, seeming photograph of Jesus. That's not the real photograph of Jesus. And they were looking at us with disdain. And they were asking, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Spontaneously, my friend told them that this guy is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom you rejected. And today, we have taken it from you. And when he mentioned that, all of them were so quiet and calm because he had dealt a blow on them. They rejected him. And people that were erstwhile Gentiles, heathens, have now had the heritage of relating with him closely. And also the benefits, all the benefits that accrue to health are now yours for free. What a privilege. What an honor. What a great privilege. Somebody praise the Lord. Now, God's covenant of healing is an eternal one. It's an everlasting one. It's not a temporary one. If you understand the terms, you will reign in it. In Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 17 and 18, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Hallelujah. God entered into the covenant after Israel's escape from Egypt. When they left Egypt, God solidified the covenant and made it strong, such that anyone who lives by the terms of the covenant was bound to reap all the blessings and benefits that accrue to it. But so sad, little long after they left the land of bondage, the land of Egypt, they turned against God, rebelling against God, you know, giving Moses headache. And as such, they all died in the wilderness. They perished there. Apart from the few, they were born in the wilderness. It's a terrible thing for one to have something and you don't know the worth of what you have, and you lose it. And that's the truth about our position in the faith. It's so much loaded. So much loaded. If your eyes are open to know what God has packaged for you, Isaiah chapter 54, if you read verses 1 and 1 to 4, says, it says, sing, O barren. Isaiah 64, not 5, 4. Isaiah chapter 64. It says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains may flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make your name known unto thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. It says in verse 3, when thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Then in verse 4, it says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither had the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he had prepared for him that waited for him. Talking about the covenant children of God. It's a glorious heritage. And until you know it, you'll be wasting in ignorance. When Moses led Israel to a point, and when it was time for him to hand over the baton to his servant Joshua, the Bible tells us after Joshua had taken over from Moses, he tells us in the book of Joshua chapter 5, if you read from verse 7, Joshua chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, "And their children whom he raised up in their stead, then Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole." Verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." It says in verse 10. "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the place of Jericho." Then verse 11. "And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day." Then verse 12, the Bible says, "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." In this land where you dwell, you will eat the fruit of the land. I mean, you will eat the fruit of the land. Praise the Lord. Now, in the terms of the covenant, Jesus came into the scene to put a seal to the terms of the covenant by sacrificing his own life, giving his life in your place. That's why the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 13. It says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Causes that have to do with sicknesses, disease, and failure, and disappointment, and every negativity. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." In verse 14, he says, verse 14, "that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord. If you read chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, you see the blessings. There are conditions that are things you must have to fulfill from Deuteronomy 28, 1 to somewhere in verse 13. Then, on the other hand, when you fail to keep the terms of the covenant, there are curses that will come upon you. So the man is placed on you to know whom you are and to know what you ought to do, to be a beneficiary of the fullness of the blessings God has promised to his own elect. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, let me read verses 19 and 20. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." It says, "that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life." God is your life. "And the length of the day, thy day, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." The promises of God are yea and amen. And that promise is for you to grab this morning. I say it is for you to grab this morning. Now you can only get or take delivery of that, you know, inheritance if you understand your place as one of the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 13, if you read from verse 10 to 17, the account of a woman who had the issue of infirmity for 18 years. She was dying under that. And when Jesus met that woman, he was angry. And he spoke concerning that ailment of that woman. He says in verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified. And glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk in them. Therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Verse 15. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water it? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? In other words, Jesus was saying, this woman has the right to be set free, has the right to be loosed from that infirmity. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? You are here seated watching me this morning. You are the daughter of Abraham. You are the son of Abraham. And as such, there's no reason why you should remain bound. There's no reason why that sickness should remain in your life. You may be here. You have gone from one place to another seeking help. But I want to let you know that the Master is here. His name is Jesus. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. He delivers the oppressed. He does spectacular miracles. And today, he will visit you. He will break the yoke of infirmity and make you whole in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, we are talking about sons and daughters of Abraham. But I read in my Bible, about a Gentile woman who sought for help from Jesus concerning her daughter. She wasn't a Jew. And Jesus told her point blank that you are not qualified for what you are asking for. But when Jesus saw the level of her faith, that her daughter was healed. If Jesus can extend that to a Gentile, how much more you who is a spiritual Jew? You won't be held bound anymore. You must be set free. You must be liberated in the name of Jesus. There are stories of people who got one miracle or the other. Time will fail me to begin to enumerate them. In John chapter 9, the Bible tells me about a man that was born blind, and Jesus healed him. Bartimaeus also received his healing. Men with all manner of infirmities received their healing. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That Jesus is here. He will set you free. He will liberate you. He will heal you of that condition. I am speaking from the throne of God this morning, and I know what I speak. Somebody here will receive a miracle. Somebody here will receive a touch from God. That yoke shall be broken. That yoke shall be broken. That siege shall come to an end in the name of Jesus. But I want to warn you this morning I want to warn you. There are consequences to violating, you know, the terms, your responsibility, your obligations to the covenant. There are consequences. And that is why you must be extremely, extremely careful. I read my Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 34. The only daughter of the man Jacob. The Bible says they went to a city, Shechem. And that daughter of Jacob went out to see, you know, the town. And in the midst of doing that, the prince of that city, by name Shechem, molested her, defied her. And it was a pain to not just Jacob, but to her brothers. The Bible says Levi and Simeon, when they came back, because that lady was their direct sister. When they heard of that, they were angry. And meanwhile, this man was negotiating. He said, come, let us now begin to marry, exchange sons and daughters in marriage and all that. Then Levi and Simeon, in deceit, accepted that offer. And they gave them one condition, that under one condition, you can see that they told them, you can see that we are circumcised people. All our men are circumcised. We're only going to accept that if you accept to circumcise all your men. He said, if that be, it's an easy thing. And they accepted to circumcise them. And a day was appointed when all the men of Shechem came after the circumcision. Simeon and Levi took their weapons and killed everyone. But then that thing did not go down well with their father. It didn't go down well with their father. At the point when their father should be blessing his children, in Genesis chapter 49, he says something concerning Levi and Simeon. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 49, in verse 5, it says, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. It says in verse 6, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. In verse 7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. That was not a blessing. It was a curse. This was a covenant or agreement that man made with man, not to talk of, you know, one made, you know, between man and God. God is so mindful of the terms of the covenant. That's why you, as a child of God, must be conscious of that and live by the terms of the covenant. In Jeremiah chapter 34, the Bible says in verse 17 to 21, it says, therefore thus said the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one of his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, said the Lord, to the sword, and to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Says in verse 18, and I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain, and passed between the parts thereof. Let me stop there. Let me pause there. You know, I have been saying this continuously, that the terms of the covenant is for us to keep if you want to reap the benefits of it. And if you don't keep the terms of the covenant, curses upon curses are with you. And I pray that you will not fall prey to the curses that come on those who disobey his promise, his covenant, in the name of Jesus. If they obey and serve him. They would spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. Chapter 11, verse 9. 25, verse 15. God there is declaring upon his children, upon his people, that when you keep the covenant, I, God, will prolong your days. You have the length of days. I will keep you. With long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. A lot of believers are living poor specimen of Christianity. Your life is a poor specimen of Christianity. Until you come to the point where your life is attractive to the world, then something is wrong. And how can you get to that point? When you acknowledge the terms of the covenant and live by it, your life will become a beauty to behold. And God will color you this morning. God will color your life this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let me jump to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. He says, but unto you that fear his name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I'm in a hurry to pray for somebody this morning. And I know that is you. God wants to get you out of that bondage. God wants to get you out of that captivity, out of that siege. And it has pleased him to use a vessel like me to do this. Are you here this morning? You are sick in your body. You are sick in your mind. Or your sickness, it is indescribable. It's spiritual. Can you stand to your feet this morning and come to the altar? There's no time to waste. Come to the altar. You know you are sick and you need help. Help is coming from the throne of God to you this morning. His name is Jesus. Oh, Jesus. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He has healed the brokenhearted. Open wide the prison gate. He is able to deliver evermore. Now, don't come because others are coming. Come because you mean business. Because you want that ailment to go. And if I be the servant of God, you're not going back with that condition. You're not going back with that ailment. The man of Calvary is here. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. He will liberate you. I mean you. He will liberate you from that condition in the name of Jesus. Is that ailment something that you can lay your hand on, either in your head, your eyes, your any part of your body? Just put your hand there. Put your hand there. Your waist, your back, or you cannot see it physically, maybe some of your organs, according to medical science, that your organs are damaged. In the name of Jesus, the great physician is here. The great physician is here. The great physician is here. He will heal you. He will heal you. He will set you free. He will liberate you. In the name of Jesus. Put your hand where that condition is right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, the great physician. Thank you, the doctor of doctors. Thank you, the one that is more than able to accomplish what concerns us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command, let that amen dry from the roots. Dry from the roots. In the name of Jesus. That demonic power of leukemia. Melt. I say melt. Melt. In the name of Jesus. Every condition in your organ. Are you having kidney condition? Are you having condition in your liver? I command, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Are you having challenge with your sight? Place your hand on your eyes right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I command in the name of Jesus that eye condition disappear in Jesus' name. I proclaim healing. I proclaim healing. I proclaim healing in the name of Jesus. Every stomach condition, receive your miracle, receive your miracle, receive your miracle in the name of Jesus. Every one of you that is under a curse, you have gone to doctor and they've examined you through and through and they have found nothing and yet you are dying. In the name of Jesus, I speak life into you. I speak life into you. In the name of Jesus, that spiritual ailment, I command, be healed in the name of Jesus. By the power through which he's able to do all things, I command your healing. I command your healing. I command your healing in the name of Jesus. Somebody viewing online, they have carried you from one place to another, and it has been conclusive that you will remain there and die. I declare unto you this morning, you will not die. I say you will not die. You will live and not die. In the name of Jesus. I say be healed in the name of Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all, not some, all that were oppressed of the devil. All the people that are standing here this morning, I command every one of you one by one, whatever name that ailment is, I command your healing now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. The power of God hits you like thunder. The power of God hits you like thunder. In the name of Jesus. You are liberated. You came to Wind and Fire conference with this condition. I declare unto you, you are not going back to your seat with it. You are not going back to your seat with it. In the name of Jesus. Take it. Receive your miracle. I said take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. In the name of Jesus. It is done. It is done. By the finger of God, it is done. In the name of Jesus.